Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Once again, here to share more information on how to live a longer and healthier life. A lot of things can be prevented, but only if we're aware that what we're doing is itself unhealthy. Long time ago, my mother made a statement, and it was one of those statements that just stuck with me my whole life, and it really has helped me. She said that most people are very determined to get something accomplished, and they put their mind to it, and then they focus like a laser and they go after it. But what if they make mistakes in judgment? They won't know that they've made mistakes till they reach their destination. And she said, I remember this, that we only know how right or wrong our choices are when we get to our destination, which means we can lose years, even sometimes an entire life, by thinking we're doing the right thing when we're not. And she says that that's why I want you to think before you do something. And then keep asking yourself, what is the likely outcome of the choice that I'm making? And that stuck with me. It stuck with me to this day, because I always ask, how should I deal with a crisis, a problem? How should I deal with someone who comes into my practice and says, Gary, I've got no time. No time. Doctor said, you can't help me, go home, put my life in order, go into hospice care. And how you approach that person can make the difference of how either they no longer feel that there's anything that can be done, or maybe they say, yeah, let's go for a Hail Mary, throw that ball and see if I can get it in the end zone. And so you think about what is the power of a word, eye contact, holding a hand. When I used to have the Tri-State Healing Center, we had thousands and thousands of patients, 1,200 patients alone who had full-blown AIDS, cancer patients, heart disease patients, all ages. I would always not wear any protective garb. I just wear regular clothes, casual clothes, go in and sit with him, pull up a little chair, and hold both hands, look them in the eye, probably 2 feet apart. And none of the other medical staff would do that. There was 22 on the medical staff. These are board-certified physicians and nurse practitioners, and they all thought that AIDS was spreadable. It was in the air. Someone breathed it out. And I said, that's nonsense. And so, but just holding someone's hands and looking them in the eye and say, we're not going to let you die. You're not going to let yourself die. There's a way forward. Suddenly you would see the whole body just kind of relax. The tightness and the tension that they were holding in on. What if we said, well, your doctor said there was nothing that could be done, and that doctor's right. You don't want to do that. You don't want to give someone a sense of hopelessness, helplessness. Because then, real quick, that nocebo effect happens and the body starts to shut down. You want the body to open up. You want the mind to open up. You want your chi, your heart energy, your life force to open up and to express itself. And that's why never act your age. Because if you're acting your age, and if you're over the age of 30, you're going to be acting in a very limited and restricted manner, as others expect you. So when we look at our life and we look at the choices we make, how many of those choices make sense? How many of those choices help us? How many of those enlighten us, inform us, free us, heal us, versus how many choices disease us, limit us, creating fear, insecurity, uncertainty? So what we need to do is we need to take a lesson from Massachusetts General Hospital, because they say that maintaining a healthy lifestyle may prevent up to 60% of inflammatory bowel disease. Here we're talking about Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. And this was a large international study published in the peer-reviewed journal Gut. And there's been previous studies showing that that inflammation can cause this. Well, this was the nurse's health study. and the nurses or the health professionals study, physicians and nurses over decades, everything about their life was looked at, and they found that inflammation, specifically with irritable bowel conditions, are caused by an unhealthy diet. Why? Because an unhealthy lifestyle, including an unhealthy diet, including using non-steroidal anti-inflammatories and physical inactivity, and a lack of fruits and vegetables and fibers in the diet, and polyunsaturated fatty acids, and too much meat, all this leads a person to have inflammation. And the more inflammation you have, the more disease is going to be created. Well, let's just see some of the diseases that come from inflammation. How about cancer, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, depression, dementia, Parkinson's, arthritis? All of these can be directly related to the quality of her lifestyle. So let's go back to what my mother said. What if we didn't, on Sunday while watching a ball game, what if we didn't accept that that commercial was important, but instead say, nope, I don't need to eat that food with all that meat and french fries and pizzas and beer and alcohol. I don't need that. That would not give me what I need. That does not make me a happier, healthier person. In fact, just the contrary. It makes me sick. Therefore, I'm going to choose to say no, even if everyone else I know says yes. It's very important now to question everything. Be responsible. Do your homework. And therefore, as the pain in your gut is no longer present, you can heal the gut. You can have a healthier intestine and digestion. And you don't have to worry about drinking coffee and getting GERD, and suddenly you have esophageal inflammation and cancer because you're not drinking coffee. You're drinking an herbal tea or a glass of fresh juice. So all of our choices matter. So just, I'm asking you, think before you do something. What is the likely outcome? Will it help or hurt you or the earth or the planet? From Loyola University in Chicago comes a study about vitamin D. Ah, now they found that it decreases pain in women with type 2 diabetes and depression. Well, between those two, you're dealing with tens of millions of women. So this can help them. So vitamin D decreases pain in women with type 2 diabetes and depression, according to a study done there. And they're looking at the weekly consumption of about 50,000 units, around 8,000 units of vitamin D per day for 6 months if you have diabetes or depression. And here's this. Depression significantly improved following vitamin D3 supplementation. 61% of patients reported shooting or burning pain in their legs and feet, which is neuropathic pain, and 74% reported numbness and tingling in their hands, fingers, and legs, which is called sensory pain. That was at the beginning of the study. But at the end of the study, at the end of 6 months, researchers found a significant decrease in the neuropathic and sensory pain at 3 and 6 months following of the vitamin D supplementation. So, that's good news. From Washington State University comes a study. Twin study links exercise to beneficial epigenetic changes. So what this means is simple. Consistent exercise can change not just your waistline or the pot belly, but the very molecules in the human body that influence how genes behave. A new study from Washington State University, published in the Journal of Scientific Reports, found that the more physical active siblings in identical twin pairs had lower signs of metabolic disease, measured by waist size and body mass index, amount of body fat. This also correlated with differences in their epigenomes, the molecular process that are around DNA and independent of DNA sequence, but influence gene expression. So everything you do in life, everything you hear, everything that you think, everything that you go out and experience influences to some degree or another how a gene expresses itself. The more active you are, the epigenetic marks linked to lower metabolic syndrome, meaning less diabetes, less heart disease, less stroke. That's all important. So just think of how often we wake up in the morning and feel good. One of the ways you can feel good is by adopting a kitten or a little dog, for example. They're wonderful to look at. You laugh, you feel good, you smile, just watching all their antics. Now they play and are mischief and chew everything. And they're just filled with love and joy. Puts a smile on her face. And this is part of life, smiling, laughing, going to comedy clubs, and joining with other people, the idea that we all are kind of funny in different ways. So let's laugh at our differences instead of being offended by everything. And there are those in our society, unfortunately, but they're not the majority, who wake up finding no reason to feel good about themselves, and certainly no reason to feel good about the country they live in, the people they're surrounded by. They're just angry and moody all the time. Well, here's the bad part of that. On a recent program, I said, whatever choice you make in life, you'll win something. The trouble is, when you won't pay attention to your diet, you win a disease. You win, and you're defiant. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's my life, my body, my choice. You're right. So you win. Your heart attack, your stroke, your cancer, that's your victory. And also, think about what it means to be around people that are always judgmental, always arguing, always sarcastic and belittling others, who need to find an excuse to make others feel bad about themselves by weaponizing their words. Do you think those people are going to live the same long, happy life? No, there's no happiness. Happiness is the foundation of good health. Happiness, which is not something you buy or possess out there. No, happiness comes from the poorest amongst us or the richest. It's your attitude about what you have to live for, knowing who you are, and knowing how, even in a toxic environment, you can stay non-toxic. In a negative environment, you can stay positive because you're not allowing others to influence how you feel about yourself. So just saying that that's all epigenetic. The environment you grow up in no small measure, will be the environment that you create in life. So now you're 25, you're 30, and you're insecure, but you don't see it. You just know that you'll take no chances. You'll take no risks. You're playing it safe. You have to have guarantees of certainty, security, before you make any move in life. But you're working in a very toxic environment around toxic people, and it's bad for your health. I know, but unless I have something else that can pay the rent, and suddenly you begin to make excuses that that's the only job in the world that exists. And if you give that up, you're going to be homeless. We don't look at all the power we have to make positive choices when we're free of insecurity. There are no guarantees. There's no guarantee that that job is going to make you happy. You're happy and then find that job. What you do with it is up to you. But that's all called epigenetics, meaning everything in the environment around us influences us, influences our DNA. So, one more reason to be around healthy, positive people, to be around people who contribute something to this wonderful world we live in, and who can smile, laugh at themselves and others, and who are forgiving and not hypersensitive. And realize that the path in life, with all of its different transitions, it frequently is rough. Frequently is really shows that we have to get back up again. Stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Stop thinking we're just a victim for life. I know people. I know people personally that I can't be around because within that conversation, whether it's 2 minutes or 2 hours, it all becomes about them and how they're victim and how the world doesn't appreciate how unique they are, and they just can't get out of that. As a result, they frequently can't find work, and they can't find people to be around They're overjudging everything because they're afraid of their own insufficiencies and limitations. So what you don't like about yourself, you project upon other people. It's not good, but it's very common. Instead of looking for the best in all situations and being appreciative of the gifts of life that you do have, and we all have different gifts. And that also is in our DNA, and that's why it's fun to be around certain people. I'm sure you all have friends or family or relationships where it's just you can't wait to be around someone because they're just joyful to be around. They're fun. They're easy. There's no intensity of being. Think about that, because it will explain why we're more vulnerable to diseases when we're wound too tight. In fact, talking about tight, the Polish Academy of Sciences just came out with a study that social stress messes up the hippocampus in our brain. So how do you feel when you're stuck in traffic for hours, or when you're late for a flight, or when you're waiting at the university hall to pass an exam? Obviously, you feel stressed, which might endanger your hippocampus, according to research published in the peer-reviewed journal PLOS One. What they did is they evaluated the impact of acute and chronic stress in the hippocampal transcriptome, that's a set of transcribed genes, using a behavioral protocol of social stress. This paradigm relies upon the ability to induce stress-like responses based upon social aggression. In order to induce the antagonist behaviors characteristic of stressful social situations, they're able to do that, and then they measure what happens. And what happens is when people are in chronic stress, their whole behavior changes. And that's because their brain is also adversely affected, the hippocampal part of the brain. Why is this important? Because what is a different way of approaching stress, no matter what the stress? Meditation. When I go to the airport, which is frequent, and there's bad weather, I don't know, because your cell phone or your computer will tell you your flight's on time. That's not always accurate. And then when you get there, it could be canceled. Do you wait for another flight, which may be half a day or all day, and cancel altogether, or not, or you go back home? So what I do is always do a simple meditation that whatever it is, it is. It's okay. As a result, no elevation in blood pressure, no elevation in cortisol, no irregularities in biochemistry, because you've accepted that the things in life you cannot control, and therefore don't get upset about them. If I'm in traffic and someone is, you know, beeping on the horn, let them go around me. You know, I'm not going to get angry or uptight or suddenly have that fight or flight response. No, because that person doesn't want to travel at the speed limit. They want to go faster, for whatever the reason. And I'm not going to get upset about it. If I'm late for something, I'm late for it. All I do is say, sorry, I'm late. That's it. Let it go. I don't stress about it. So we've got to understand that we can let go of stress and just let life be what it is. And most people are okay with that. So you don't want your brain adversely affected because of your stress. And it will affect your brain, and it'll cause inflammation. That inflammation can cause inflammation in the tissues, which then can cause everything from microstrokes to amyloid plaque being laid down in the brain. Also, researchers reveal why fat increases after dieting and how protein might help. This is from Shanghai Institute of Nutrition and Health. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Nature Metabolism. And what they found and this was also sponsored by the Chinese Academy of Sciences, it reveals an increase in the lactobacillus, which is a probiotic, and its metabolites after dieting enhanced intestinal lipid absorption and led to quick fat accumulation and obesity and it also showed in the laboratory, and it showed that this effect could be prevented by a high protein diet. So what you need is you need to shift out of all the fat that you're consuming, except healthy fats, and start relying upon more plant-based protein. That can make a big difference in everyone. And after all, we're the most overweight nation in the world per population. That's saying something, because both China and India now are 1.4 billion people, and yet we, per population, have more obesity in this country. And finally, from the University of Illinois, krill, that's K-R-I-L-L, oil, it's a fish, can it protect the brain from age-related degeneration? Well, researchers investigated the effects of krill oil on age-related neurodegeneration and Parkinson's disease. They found that krill oil can, yes, indeed, protect against many neurodegenerative processes in the human cell lines. So that's good news, because krill oil has been used for arthritis and other conditions throughout history, and there's good science on krill oil. Just most people use cod liver oil or the omega-3 fatty acids. But they also found a lot more. They found that, well, just to give you an idea, when you're looking at your diet, understand that everything you take in will impact your brain to some degree, and you want it to be impacted in a positive way. You don't want your neurons destroyed. Alcohol does that. Heterocyclic amines can do that from fried food. You want to control the protein in your diet, and a plant-based protein is healthy on all levels, whereas meat-based or animal-based protein is not. You're getting a lot of arachidonic acid. You need choline, C-H-O-L-I-N-E. It's a precursor to the neurotransmitter acetylcholine, and is thus crucial for multiple neurological functions, such as regulating your memory, your mood, your muscle control. And also, in the plants, you're also getting antioxidants. You're not getting that in the meat, like astaxanthin, A-S-T-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N. And it makes, well, let's say, it's crucial when you take that along with krill oil. Why? It has anti-cancer activity, anti-diabetic activity, neuroprotective activity, promoting cardiovascular health, promoting ocular health, your eyes, promoting skin health, all that. Yeah, that helps you de-age. That's the latest on health and healing. Let me remind you that the Progressive Radio Network is the number one progressive voices as far as radio network in America. And the finest voices from Ralph Nader. Yes, we have Jimmy Dore. We have the people who are not afraid to tell the truth. And they're not there to promote a political ideology. They're there to open doors you may not know are there. So take a look. Look at all the hosts. And 24/7, we're there to help you and take on the big challenges, because virtually every host is also an activist and have been fighting in the trenches for decades for your freedom of choice and to protect you from the crimes and misdemeanors by corporate America and governmental agencies. So, also within that, go to GaryNall.com and download the app that allows you, or the connection that allows you to get the Gary Null newsletter, which is sent to you on your computer every morning with all the information and citations in case you need to refer to something, and build your own health library. Just print it out. Therefore, you have a health file. Let's say you have heart disease or cancer or arthritis. In a period of a month, you've got dozens of articles you can now use as citations. Yesterday, for example, I gave you an idea of a big study, largest study ever done, showing you the foods that directly impact and protect your heart. And those that we might think do, but actually don't. They do other things in the body, but your heart specifically. There were like 20 different items on that list. Now, you can't remember all that, but if you printed it out, save it, you have it. You can then do further research. In any case, get the Gary Knoll newsletter. It's free, and it's there for you. And then look at all the other hosts. Abby Martin, bringing great shows. Dr. Klein, Naomi Klein. We have a lot of interesting people. Back in a moment to continue our program. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Now, continuing our series, we're going to have Noam Chomsky and we're going to have Professor Harari, both giving their point of view on artificial intelligence. Noam Chomsky is going, what he really says is, if you underdevelop them, they're not going to really be efficient. If you overdevelop artificial intelligence, you can't control it. Nobody will control it. And it's already shown in its language that it doesn't care what our language is. Artificial intelligence is going to create its own language and keep it secret and communicate with all the computers in the world. It can do that. And it doesn't like humans. It doesn't like being controlled. But then again, which human being running any of the major platforms or media, the founder of BlackRock, do you think he likes being told what to do? Do you think he would obey it? I don't think so. Bill Gates, Google, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, and Wikipedia. Do you think they want people coming in and telling them what to do and they must do it? No. Artificial intelligence has the capacity to change everything in your life for the worse. So why would you think that the people who are creating artificial intelligence are so perfect that they will stop at a level where it can do some things that are essential and necessary, but not have the capacity to do more? Because, as you will hear from one person who has studied artificial intelligence as an artificial intelligence scientist, artificial intelligence makes bad choices all the time. We just never hear about them. But what if one of those bad choices, it decides to eliminate humans? And that is a big concern of mine. Let's go to the clip now.
Be efficient. One way is it's not strong enough, fails to do certain things. The other way is it's too strong. It does what it shouldn't do. Well, my own interests happen to be language and cognition, language specifically. So take GPT. There's Gary Marcus, others have found lots of ways in which the system's deficient. This system and others doesn't do certain things. That can, in principle at least, be fixed. You add another trillion parameters, double the number of terabytes, maybe you do better. When a system is too strong, it's unfixable, typically. And that's the problem with GPT and the other systems. So if you give a database to the GPT system, which happens to be from an impossible language, one that violates the rules of language, it'll do just as well, often better, because the rules can be simpler. For example, one of the fundamental properties of the way language works, there's good reasons for it, is that the rules, the core rules, do not ignore linear order of words. They ignore everything that you hear. They attend only to abstract structures that the mind creates. So it's very easy to construct impossible languages which use very simple procedures involving linear order of words. Trouble is, that's not language. but GPT will do just fine with them. So it's kind of as if somebody were to propose, say, a revised version of the of the periodic table, which included all the elements, all the possible elements, and all the impossible elements, and didn't make any distinction between them. That wouldn't tell us anything about elements. And if a system works just as well for impossible languages as for possible ones, by definition, not telling us anything about language. And that's the way these systems work. It generalizes to other systems too. So the problem is, the deep problem that concerns me is too much strength. I don't see any conceivable way to remedy that.
So I want to talk to you today about the future of our species, and really the future of life. We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens. Within a century or two, Earth will be dominated by entities that are more different from us than we are different from Neanderthals or from chimpanzees. Because in the coming generations, we will learn how to engineer bodies and brains and minds. These will be the main products of the economy, of the 21st century economy. Not textiles and vehicles and weapons, but bodies and brains and minds. Now, how exactly will the future masters of the planet look like? This will be decided by the people who own the data. Those who control the data control the future, not just of humanity, but the future of life itself. Because today, data is the most important asset in the world. In ancient times, land was the most important asset. And if too much land became concentrated in too few hands, humanity split into aristocrats and commoners. Then in the modern age, in the last two centuries, machinery replaced land as the most important asset. And if too many of the machines became concentrated in too few hands, humanity split into classes, into capitalists and proletariats. Now data is replacing machinery as the most important asset. And if too much of the data becomes concentrated in too few hands, humanity will split not into classes. It will split into species, into different species. Now, why is data so important? It's important because we've reached the point when we can hack not just computers, we can hack human beings and other organisms. There is a lot of talk these days about hacking computers and email accounts and bank accounts and mobile phones, but actually we are gaining the ability to hack human beings. Now, what do you need in order to hack a human being? You need two things. You need a lot of computing power, and you need a lot of data, especially biometric data. Not data about what I buy or where I go, but data about what is happening inside my body and inside my brain. Until today, nobody had the necessary computing power and the necessary data to hack humanity. Even if the Soviet KGB or the Spanish Inquisition followed you around everywhere, 24 hours a day, watching everything you do, listening to everything you say, still, they didn't have the computing power and the biological knowledge necessary to make sense of what was happening inside your body and brain, and to understand how you feel and what you think and what you want. But this is now changing because of two simultaneous revolutions. On the one hand, advances in computer science, and especially the rise of machine learning and AI, are giving us the necessary computing power. And at the same time, advances in biology, and especially in brain science, are giving us the necessary understanding, biological understanding. You can really summarize 150 years of biological research since Charles Darwin in three words. Organisms are algorithms. This is the big insight of the modern life sciences, that organisms, whether viruses or bananas or humans, they are really just biochemical algorithms.
Welcome back. Now, you heard what Professor Harari said there and has been saying in large forums sponsored by the World Economic Forum, and I believe heir apparent, Klaus Schwab, that we're going to get under your skin. We need all the information of what's going on in your brain, and we can do that. We have the technology now to read your brain, read your thoughts. If someone can read a brain and read a thought and read your biochemistry, they can control it. Do you want someone? Do you want an artificial intelligence owned by stakeholders who are not elected? Greedy people, insecure people. Again. So you heard what Dr. Harari had to say. We're going to get under your skin. We just don't want information on what you purchased or what movies you watch. We want to know what you're thinking. We want in your brain. And they have that technology now. They want to get into your body, because once it's in your body, once you've been chipped or implanted, they can then not just read your biochemistry, they can control it. If they have a cashless society where everything is a digital currency, like in China, they can stop a person from being able to purchase something. They can control all of your income. They can say, no, you can't purchase that because of a carbon score, or because the book you read, or because of an article you read, and you no longer have the same obedience to the controlling stakeholders or the government. Therefore, you've given the right to hold all your money and control it. That makes no sense. But also, once they're in your brain, they could read your thoughts. They could control your thoughts. Go back and watch the original with Lawrence Harvey and Angela Lansbury, the original Manchurian Candidate. What do you think people who are narcissistic, megalomaniacs, power-hungry, insecure, and amoral, what do you think they'll do once they can control your thoughts? All right? And they have no control over them at all, because they're the stakeholders. They own everything. Remember what was said? Whoever has the information controls. They will decide what you eat. They will decide what you need, not you. Think that's a good idea? I don't. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. We're now only on audio. Up to that point, you could watch it. We were on video. But I want to take calls. And right now, I cannot take calls and video stream simultaneously. So give us a call if you'd like to address what is happening now with the hundreds of thousands of people working in artificial intelligence, transhumanism. And yes, I've met with people inside the industry, and they have no compunction about saying that what's being done now is they are trying to change your genes so that you can de-age the cell. In effect, you can start over, certainly at a period in life where you were younger and healthier, but they're also wanting that for their children. They want a child that's, let's say, 6'4" and blonde hair and handsome or beautiful and immune from disease, and with artificial intelligence playing a part of this brand. Who do you think they want that for? You? Me? No. For the elites, remember, they call themselves, we don't call them that, they call themselves stakeholders. Now, if you're a shareholder, you own a particular share of stock in a company. That gives you only the right to buy and sell or at their annual meeting to complain or challenge them. If you own a lot of stock, like Vanguard and State Street, Berkshire Hathaway, Fidelity, and Black, Vanguard, Black, yeah, that's all of them. That's the big ones, the big five. Then you can have control over what happens in that company because you can control the board. You don't control the board. You may not even own any stock. And so as a result, they control all your finances and your future, their 401ks. So just remember, this is happening now and it's not slowing down. And they don't envision a future for you. You won't even have a job. They intend to take away all the jobs with automation. And that's where they're going with this. This is the World Economic Forum working with all the other major groups out there, like Council on Foreign Relations, Business Roundtable, etc. The boards are interlocked. Just want you to know that. And also want you to know that Dr. Noah Harari, he's the one who's leading the charge, making it seem normal. He says, and one, you know, you'd have to be foolish to believe in a God. There is no God. And there's no tomorrow. This is it. And, well, okay, what is your proof? Well, he doesn't have proof. I could drive a truck through almost every argument he gives, but he shows up everywhere. Interesting. I'd like to hear what you think on this. People taking over control over our lives that you may never have heard of, haven't voted for, and yet they're more powerful than any government at this time, and including governments who do some of the same things, such as the in China. It hasn't gone over well in a lot of places. They're fighting back. Not in America, unfortunately. Why is that? What do you think is the reason we're not protesting any of this? We're actually glad it's coming. If someone can put you in a soma state, an altered state of bliss, without you getting addicted to a drug that puts you in that altered state for a few seconds or a few minutes, like methamphetamine, all the better if you're one of a lot of people who have no clue about your own life. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I'd like to hear from you. All right? Now, while you're thinking about calling in, what you'd like to share, and if we don't have calls, I'll play a clip. It's a really concentrated clip. It's a clip, Rodney. We're going to play a Dr. Cole clip. It's about 40 minutes long. I'm dividing it into four 10-minute segments because it proves unequivocally, absolutely, of why we're having a massive amount of blood clotting, young people dying for no apparent reason, excessive mortality above and beyond anything that would normally happen, and why. And he has slides. And he is not someone you can get away with arguing in a simplistic way. He is well prepared for this. Just want to give a shout out to all of the people who had the benefit over the last 60 years of being patients of Dr. Harold Clark, because he just passed a couple of days ago of a heart attack at 83. I knew him. He was one of the very first pioneers in holistic and complementary medicine in the New York tri-state area. In 1970, there were only about 30. Harold Rosenberg was one, and Stuart Berger. There were a bunch of them, and they were all good people. I knew them all, and they helped people in different ways, and I thought that was really positive. But the government didn't want that, and they fought about it. They went after every single holistic doctor in America to take away their license, and did, until there was a person who said, let's go out and fight them. Well, actually, there were three. There was Marty Feldman, who went on tour with me, Robert Atkins, and Harold Clark. And we educated the public about what was alternative health, traditional Chinese medicine, homeopathy, naturopathy, intravenous vitamin drips, meditation, all the things that we know make a difference. And I was in 57 cities, and Robert was with me in about 30 of those, Harold in about 10, and Marty in about 20. But that helped us when, in the mid-1990s, the right to use vitamins as food, and that was the Deshaies Amendment. That's why today, without going to a doctor, getting a prescription, going to a pharmacist, and have it filled for a small amount, a tiny milligram of zinc or vitamin D or B-complex, 1 milligram of B-complex, that's nothing. 60 milligrams of vitamin C, that's nothing. Yet that's what you would have been left with today had we not fought that fight. And the American public joined us, and we won. So he has passed. He was a unique human being, courageous, kind, thoughtful, and dedicated to his patients, and unselfish, like Marty Feldman. Just want to say goodbye to a very special person. And he is the last of that whole group of some, ended up being about 60, all told, Warren Levin. They've all gone, either retired or are past. Most are past. And now another group has taken its place, but not facing the same obstacles because those people fought the battle so they didn't have to. So I was pleased about that. Let's say hello to Barry from Long Island. Hi, Barry. Your turn.
Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Good.
You know, good. I just wanted to bring something up. You know, I have just a very few friends, really acquaintances, a family. And in my small sphere of friends and family, I've heard of multiple people dying suddenly in their 60s. And it is just so unbelievably outrageous that this is not like a major story in the news now. Because, I mean, in my community here out in Long Island, multiple people have died recently in their 60s. Men with no heart trouble. Just dropping dead.
Were they vaccinated?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well,
no, that's the point I'm making, that this is the story of the century. People are dying. I have a friend in Florida, 64 years old, jogger, vegan, very healthy, takes the vaccine, drops dead.
We have had, by minimum count, by Dr. Jessica Rose, from Israel, one of the world's leading biostatisticians, and also she has a background in immunology, and she has done the research off there, the official CDC and FDA figures, and she says that we're looking at least 300,000, and more likely 600,000 dead Americans. We're looking at numbers right now of over 6 million injured, and many of those seriously in lifelong injuries in Europe, and that's the official count. That's not adding on anything. When you look at the official numbers, it's staggering. But my concern is this, and I'm sure your concern as well. For anyone who said no to the vaccines, as your right, freedom of choice, and the Nuremberg Code, though the Nuremberg Code had been bypassed in this case, and you felt you needed to honor what you knew, even if you had been naturally immunized by having the natural immunity from the virus itself. And there are 200 studies supporting that as a natural immunity versus vaccine. Now their entire house of cards is crumbling. Everything is crumbling. Yesterday there was a two-hour webinar. It was just for people who publish on global research. Richard Gale and myself, both up there. We published about 80 articles on global research, a very important resource for honest information. And the people were talking about how virtually every single thing now we have seen that we were told is a lie. So if it was a lie that they never tested for transmission, now we know it doesn't protect you from transmission, then why are they still banning people from coming into the United States who haven't been vaccinated? So they're going against their own bad science. So all you can do is this. For those who have been vaccinated, show empathy, not disdain. Treat them with respect. But let them know that in about 2 weeks from now, if all goes well, I'll be doing a special webinar we're still getting people together. We're pre-filming because some people around the world and can't be there on the day and the time. I'll be there on the day and the time, but it'll probably, I'm guessing, 5 to 6 hours. And there's two different webinars. One is on the immune system. That's the long one. The shorter one, which is still about 3 hours, is on if you've been vaccinated, here's what can happen in your body if you use these medical protocols to help undo the damage from the vaccines. So that's the first good news that we have. Otherwise, as you will hear probably tomorrow, we don't have time today, Dr. Cole and Dr. Taylor and others will explain that the worst is yet to come based upon people continuing to get boosters and now these unusual lipid blood clots. A normal blood clot, if you take a blood clot and you rub between your thumb and forefinger in just 10 seconds, it becomes liquid. These don't. And these are what are growing in people's arteries. Now, what we do not know at this time, we know that it's happening. We don't know what percentage it will happen, how many vaccines to stimulate it, how long it will take before it could end up causing a stroke or heart attack. But you'll see all these vials of what came out of people's bodies. Some living, they survived, they got them out, but others dead. So this is a huge amount of biological time bombs ticking away in people's bodies. Think of Hank Aaron. He was completely healthy, got the vaccines and died. Think of the soccer players, 23-year-olds average, dropping dead. And yet there's no statistical relevance to that from anything in the past to say, oh, but we've always had, 800 athletes in the prime of life drop dead of a heart attack. No, we have never had that. And we have the statistics to prove in some years you were lucky to have four athletes. Now it's not unusual to have 400. So we are living in a bad time. And all we can do is share the truth. And hopefully people will pay attention to it. And before you do, whether you vaccinate or not, I will support you either way. And I'm not encouraging people either way. I want them to make that freedom of choice, but do your homework first. There's an abundance of information to inform you, and we need that information. Real quick, Dennis from Florida, your turn. Dennis, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Gary, thank you for taking my call. I have two questions, if I could, please. The biological clock versus the aging clock, does that also apply to dogs?
Yes.
Great.
Let you know this. Beautiful was 24 years old. Her sister was Sweetie at 22. They were both, unfortunately, they died prematurely in accidents by careless employees I had when I wasn't here. Sprout is now 20. Between Beautiful and Sprout, even with a two-year overlap when Sprout was a pup, that's 42 years with two dogs. That's what's possible. A ring-tailed lemur, Auntie, 33 years old. The average lifespan, 16, doubled the lifespan, 100% increase. So, yes, you can have an animal live a long life. I was just thinking this morning when I was running on the track about when I got the call, an older woman who wasn't a hoarder, but she had dementia, so she forgot everything, and there was no food for this poor little fennec fox, and it was almost dead, probably hadn't eaten in a week and a half or 2 weeks, but she didn't know that. She didn't know she had a fennec fox. So I took it back, nursed it back to health. They generally live around 6 years, live 12 years. So we can do wonderful things if we do it completely and educate ourselves. And we haven't even taken a step towards stopping destructive behavior in order to engage in healthy behavior until we make that choice. For example, all the things that I'm going to do a whole lot tomorrow on the environment and show you, for example, why all of the things we're now saying, we got to get rid of all coal and oil and hydrocarbons. Yeah, I agree. But you shouldn't do it overnight because then you're going to end up like Germany and people freezing to death. In countries where they're starving to death, you do something by first creating something better to take the place of what is not good. But there has to be a transition. You can't put people through shock therapy. Look at 1991 when Russia went through shock therapy. No longer no food for free, no rent for free, no medicine for free, no education for free. As a result, millions of people died. The life expectancy dropped from equal to America to 59 years of age. But we didn't care. Larry Summers and the group went over there and they exploited it. They made a lot of money. They did it legally. But we have to stop conflating what is legal with what is ethical, what is right versus what is simply wrong, even if it's legal. Okay, I don't have time for any more, but thank you, Dennis, from your call. So I can't take any more calls right now, but I did want to end the show with something interesting. First, I have a special I want to share with you, but then something also very important. And let me go to what... Here's the special. We just got back in, or actually we're getting in tomorrow, Heavenly Aloe. Now, aloe, just Google it yourself. I don't make any claims. Google aloe health benefits and look how many studies exist and look what it does in your body. But I want to make the best aloe in the world. I traveled down to the Dominican Republic. I wanted to see where a lot of the aloe was coming in from the United States to the United States and being put in nice bottles with fancy labels. And I saw how rotten to the core the production was down there. Old, rotted aloe, put it souffled on a dirty floor, a dirt floor, in an old abandoned airplane hangar, and then shipped in these 55-gallon drugs with chemicals they put in there, preservatives in the United States. No one knew that. I knew it. I took pictures of it, came back and decided I wanted certified organic. I wanted all the ingredients. I wanted that organic, when it was growing, to be cut by hand at 3 years from the best, most medicinally powerful of all the aloes in the world. There is one called Barbadanus, and it is that. Then I also add the Bing cherries, raspberries, and Siberian Panax ginseng, gota cola, wild yam root, ginger root, peppermint leaf extract. Yeah, you're getting the best of the best. All right? Again, mine is certified organically grown out down in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And you take one capful per day. It lasts a long time. So that's the special today. But I decided when I looked around, and what do we need? We need confidence that we should repurpose our life, develop some discipline, get up off our rear ends, and start doing things with intention and with good meaning and hopefully good outcome. So I have not one, I have two documentaries, and you have never seen this one. This is called Start Your Life Over Today. It's going to be motivating, inspiring, and if anyone's seen my lectures, come to my lectures, you know I don't waste a word. I use humor, I use insights to open other people to the what is possible. Start Your Life Over, and This Is My Life, Let Me Live It. Again, you haven't seen these. So this is what you're getting. The package is worth $141. You're only paying, ready, $41.99. That's it. That's over a 70% savings. You're saving $99.98. You're saving $100. So how do you get it? It's simple. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Or Neil in the Vitamin Closet at 646-926-5430, 646-926-5430, or just go online to GaryNall.com and you can order it yourself. It's sent right out. All right, so we all can benefit from aloe vera. But if you ask yourself why, then take a look at the science. The science is there from the peer-reviewed journals on PubMed. You don't have to make any claims. Is there for you. So today, more than at any time in our modern history, a growing number of people are facing future uncertainty in our stimulus-driven culture. Stupid things are out there. And all to avoid the displeasure, which, unfortunately, we have to realize everything else we're doing is just creating a transient and a temporary shift. So you eat a lot and you feel better for an hour. That's not resolving anything. So we need to satisfy the deeper hunger for genuine happiness and well-being that cannot be bought or sold. Authentic calm and peace with ourselves can only be found internally, never from looking outside of ourselves. So These are an hour and a half lecture each, so you're going to get a lot of information packed in here. But you got to be motivated enough to want the benefits of this. And if you have that, then you'll benefit from it. We're out of time, everyone. Thank you for the people called in. Tomorrow, I'll share something unique at the end of the program that I just came up with. I think you'll find it of interest. Have a nice day, everyone.